New clashes have erupted in the contested region of Nagorno-Karabakh. The fighting between Azerbaijan and Armenian forces has been going on for nearly 3 weeks there, despite efforts of a Russian-brokered ceasefire last weekend.
The destruction has swept through this region with devastating force and is eroding assurances that have held for nearly 30 years. Special correspondent Simon Ostrovsky has been reporting in the region with support from the Pulitzer Center and has the latest. A warning, some of the images in this segment are disturbing.
The war over the Nagorno-Karabakh enclave has dragged on for more than 3 weeks, sweeping through this region with devastating force. It's also sweeping away old certainties that have held here for almost three decades. Ethnic Armenians won control of this region in a bitter and bloody war between the former Soviet republics of Armenia and Azerbaijan that broke out as the Soviet Union disintegrated. They cemented their rule over these mountains, declaring independence and forging overland links with Armenia. Azerbaijan doesn't yet rule the mountains, but in this new war, it rules the sky, with an arsenal of sophisticated weaponry purchased with its oil wealth. It's a war in which you never see your enemy face to face. Ethnic Armenian forces are left to warily scan the sky, searching for the next suicide drone or guided missile.
It's a plane, it's a plane. It's not safe here. The same thing happened yesterday. We were hit with bombs, some kind of smert rockets or artillery. I don't really know. I'm a doctor. I don't know these weapons very well. See?
Here in Martakert, a military hospital was destroyed in a strike on Wednesday as staff removed bodies for transportation homewards. Two medics were injured. This town, like other parts of Karabakh, has remained under fire despite a ceasefire that was brokered by Russia last week. Russia once ruled over both Armenia and Azerbaijan, but lately there's a new power player in the region, Turkey. It's supplied its ally Azerbaijan with an arsenal of killer drones and sent in Syrian mercenaries on Baku's behalf. Ankara's involvement is evoking memories of the 1915 Armenian genocide. Martin Sargian fears the worst.
Genocide for us. They don't want us here.
For almost 3 weeks, Sargian has called the cellar underneath a kindergarten in the town of Martuni his home. He shares it with several other pensioners, one of whom was hit with shrapnel when his guard booth was destroyed by a bomb.
Here on the fringes of Karabakh, unlike in the big cities, the ceasefire never came into effect. The war never ended. The men here are frail and old. They say they hope for peace, but they're also ready for war.
Half an hour ago, there were explosions 100 meters from here. We want peace. We want our sons and grandchildren to come here. To be near me, that's what I want.
Martuni has been transformed into a ghost town. The streets are pockmarked and deserted. The sound of distant artillery fire hangs in the air. Yet Violeta Tamunyan refuses to flee. My son is on the front line, she says. If we stay here, our sons will fight harder, knowing they need to defend us. Further back from the front line in the town of Lachin, we meet the owner of a supermarket. Stepan Sargsyan lived in Los Angeles for 20 years before deciding to plant roots along the only functioning road connecting Karabakh to the Republic of Armenia. On Friday, a bridge here was targeted with an airstrike in an attempt to sever that link. He tells us it's become more difficult to fill store shelves with dairy products and meat since the conflict began.
It was a very, very big attack. We didn't expect it to be this bad. I didn't think that the world would stand by and look at it and make some regular standard statement and then forget about it. I say that it will be fine. They won't win. But let's hope that God will help us. That ends up being true.
Districts like Lachin are at the center of Azerbaijan's grievances with Armenians. When ethnic Armenian forces won the first war, they didn't just take control of the mostly Armenian Karabakh region. They also took over seven surrounding districts of Azerbaijan, forcing out the ethnic Azeri population. Armenians, too, had to flee areas that remained under Azerbaijan's control. Karabakh's representative to the United States, Robert Avetisyan, told me these Azerbaijani districts, which are now largely depopulated, serve as an important security buffer for Nagorno-Karabakh, which Armenians call Artsakh.
Do you think there's a scenario in which Nagorno-Karabakh will ever trade land for recognition with Azerbaijan as part of a lasting peace settlement?
Whatever is the Republic of Artsakh today is even less geographically and historically than historic Artsakh, which was part of Armenia for millennia.
So that's a no.
That is the clear understanding that the security of the Republic of Artsakh is in the hand of the political leadership and the defense army of the Republic of Artsakh.
Azerbaijan, too, has taken an uncompromising stance, demanding all the territory controlled by Armenians within its internationally recognized borders be returned to its control.
But at the same time, we have proposed that in the future, the Armenian community and the Azerbaijani community should peacefully coexist there.
It's a vision that Armenians are unlikely to believe is possible after these pictures, verified by the Bellingcat group as authentic, were circulated on social media. Two ethnic Armenian soldiers are captured, then draped in Armenian flags. Moments later, they're executed in a volley of gunfire. The overall death toll continues to rise. According to Armenia, 633 soldiers and 34 civilians have died from its side. Azerbaijan reports 43 of its civilians have been killed, but isn't releasing figures for military casualties. Judging by the grim footage coming out from the battlefield, it too is sustaining heavy losses. While Azerbaijan has made some modest territorial gains, it hasn't swept the board as its military leadership had originally hoped. A temporary ceasefire was agreed to on Saturday, but the two sides appear to be locked in a grueling war with no end in sight.